You get in a situation, someone is giving a spirit of hate, and your response needs to be love. I didn't realize that religious people like really are scared of this subject. I don't understand how you function without it. You have to choose it. It's not going to just happen. It is a choice. It's a practice. You have to train at it. You're going to find out in your life how many problems that you actually cause by battling in a bad spirit. And that's why you want to learn to battle in the opposite spirit.
In this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast, we are discussing battling in the opposite spirit. Rabbi, a super highly sought after type of episode. You've obviously done teaching that's spoke into it over the years. We've got some content over on YouTube, thousands and thousands of videos. So there's no doubt that you've preached and taught this in Shabbats and some other podcasts that you used to have. But very specifically, this topic, especially in the times of Hebrew year that we're living in right now, Hebrew year 5786. But what exactly is battling in the opposite spirit, just to get started?
You get in a situation, someone is giving a spirit of hate or anger, and your response needs to be love. You get in a situation where somebody's whining, complaining, and they're carrying a spirit of doubt, then you respond in faith. You respond in hope. You have somebody that's doing fear. They're, oh, don't do this or don't do that. Then you respond with the truth, because the truth will set them free. So that's the basic premise of this. And I think if you want to go real deep, I'll say this. I feel like I have a calling. You know, before I got saved, I was in the corporate world, and I've been trained in behavioral sciences. So the subconscious mind, I didn't realize that the subconscious mind, talking about it, or talking about meditating on the Word of God, I didn't know, because I wasn't raised in seminary and I'm not a church guy, I didn't realize that religious people like really are scared of this subject. And I don't understand how you function without it. Because what happens is you can name it and claim it and speak it. And yes, you're going to get a response by faith in the spirit realm. But where the enemy gets you is not when you're at the top of your game or you're in your prayer room proclaiming or decreeing. Where he nails you and where you have to be prepared for is when he pushes your button. And the famous story that I'm in Florida and these kids are, young teenagers are blocking the parking spot at one of my favorite beach restaurants.
It's a good one.
And I just told them, I said, you know what? It doesn't work that way here. You can't just behold, well, he's just right here. Well, where is he? And you can't see their dad's car coming. And I finally ran out of patience with them. And I said, listen, this isn't going to work. And I pulled my car in. So I got inside, and you know, my wife didn't appreciate that. She, even though this was like on a Saturday night, and there's no other parking spots in an area that, if you find a parking spot, it's almost like the angels from heaven go, oh, you know, I mean, it's that type of place. And so I got in there, we ordered dinner, and I started feeling convicted, and I could tell she was being a little quieter, and I realized I needed to respond in the opposite spirit, that I had had a rough day, no excuse, but I shouldn't have done that with those kids. So what did I do? As I went over to their table, I battled in the opposite spirit. I asked them to forgive me, and then I ordered the whole table key lime pie and blessed them with it. And the kids came up and thanked me, and the dad later said, oh my gosh, you have no idea what you did for my sons doing that. And then the cherry on the cake was the older gentleman that owns this restaurant, And I'm in this restaurant quite a bit. He came up and just told me, he said, you really did a good thing. So that's kind of battling in the opposite spirit. So what happens is subconsciously, the subconscious mind of Curtis isn't healed yet from some of the traffic and automobile type situations that I grew up with in Los Angeles, not making excuses, but sometimes I drive like I'm from Los Angeles and I've been gone there for 50 years, but there's some of the roots in it. But not trying to be funny, the anger and the control issues that are tied to that aren't in my subconscious mind. I should have been able to respond from my inner heart. Go ahead, take the parking space. I'll pray in tongues right around the block and come back and find a spot. I wasn't there yet, okay? And so I left, cost me $50 worth of key lime pie, but the biggest takeaway from it was I needed to work on my issues with driving and parking that are rooted in other issues of impatience and control in my life. So the point is, I want to get to a place where I subconsciously respond to bad situations. If it's a place of hate, I respond in love. And it's interesting, right after that, I had a situation in the car again. I went to go pick up lunch for everybody at the office. And when I opened the car door, it's a tight parking spot, and it clicked up against the mirror of the car next to me. And there's a guy inside, and he is very angry. And he's this big, muscled up, tattooed guy, probably about 40. And it didn't hit the car. It didn't damage it. It just barely touched the mirror. And he goes off. I mean, he went ballistic. And I subconsciously went into it. I'm a car guy. I wouldn't like it if someone did that to my car. But what I did is I went into a very humble, compassionate, I'm really sorry. Listen, the door is just, it's a heavy door. And I apologized to him, but I looked him right in the eye and I said, please forgive me. And then he calmed right down. If I would have turned to him and said, listen, buddy, there's no scratch here. What are you losing it for? We probably would have ended up on the ground rolling around. And I can tell you that would not have been good for me. So, yeah, the rolling around on the ground story would have been not good for the rabbi. So, but my point was that situation, my subconscious mind was ready for it. But the other one, it wasn't. And that's why you want to learn to battle in the opposite spirit. It's kind of like karate. If you take the energy of what's coming at you and you can harness it, then you can actually use it in more power for good. And in the spirit realm, it's battling in the opposite spirit.
Yeah, I think your point, Rabbi, to where most churches, I mean, this is, I'm paraphrasing, but I'll say it this way. There's not a lot of teaching generally within the church on this topic, on these techniques. To me, it seems like from relational experience, especially personally, right? I mean, people I know and, we can talk friends, family, coworkers, whatever. I think it's one of those areas that the enemy, it can start real small. And it can build its negative attitude, right? I mean, the enemy gets in your head. I mean, it could be little things. I mean, your examples were mainly traffic and battling that. But it seems like it's a stackability type of thing, right? To, it just a couple offenses, a couple bad attitude moments, gossiping, it seems like it can stack and it can build and it can go downhill really quick. And so if people watching, listening, if they're intrigued because they've they've heard of this a little bit, but not a lot of teaching, right? And maybe they're finding this podcast, maybe they're finding the ministry for the first time through this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast. Where do you tell them to start, right? Because for you, you kind of broke down the story. I think people can kind of get it, but just practically, if you had a 1-2-3 step type of thing, where can people start to start battling in the opposite spirit?
I would go to the book of Joshua chapter 1, understanding, put yourself in Joshua's shoes. He's been the assistant to Moses all these years, all the way from out of Egypt through the 40 years and in the wilderness. And now Moses is dead. And so think about it. He gets a promotion because his boss dies. And then his real boss, who is God, says, Moses is dead. And it's like, he's almost like he's rubbing it in. Moses is dead. And you can just hear it in Joshua's soul going, I know he's dead. And now all this responsibility of taking all of God's people from a wilderness into a promised land. And he goes, I don't have a clue how to do it. And obviously, lack of knowledge and anxiety. No, none of the Israelis know. They've never been in a promised land before. They're coming out of a wilderness where they've had manna and they've had pillars and clouds. Everything's taken care of. Their sandals don't wear out. And now all of a sudden it's like, okay, that season's over. You're crossing a Jordan. You're going to be circumcised and you're going to go in and take the promised land. And there's giants in the land. Your parents all were afraid of the giants, all died in the wilderness because of doubt and unbelief because they focused on the giants. And so now it's like handing it off. Okay, Joshua, you're going to be the CEO. You're going to manage these guys. You're the general in the army. Let's do it. And what's the first thing that God tells Joshua? I'm going to go ahead and let me look it up here. I know what he said, but I want to read it to you because this is, I just wanted to set the stage because, you know, Joshua has every reason why to sweat blood. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh. So in verse 6 and 1, it says, be strong of good courage, for to this people you shall divide an inheritance of the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Verse 7, number 2, only be strong, very courageous, that you observe to do according to the law of Moses. So what he's saying is, Moses may be gone, but the instruction that he gave, you need to follow it. So now, I'm going to paraphrase, Joshua, you have to filter the mindset of the teaching of Moses, which is the Torah, but you have to do it as a leader, not a follower. You have to do it as not as second in command or an assistant. You need to start having the mental mindset in your subconscious and conscious mind, the same information, but only through a more authoritative filter. So how does he get there? He says to him, verse 8, this book of the law, the Torah, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, verse 9, number 3, to be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. So here's the breakdown. Be strong, be of good courage. How do you get there? Renewing your mind by washing your mind in the Word of God. It has to be intentional and filter it through being a leader, not a follower.
Yeah, so let's draw it back to your point from how you battle, right, is you have to come from a place of love, right? And so the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians, when he's talking about the spiritual gifts, right? It could be prophecy, speaking in tongues, right? And he's given instruction to the church, and he basically gets down to all the different spiritual gifts and says, but if you do these things and you don't have love, basically, it's worthless, right? And so—
yeah, you're a clanging cymbal.
Right? And so— walk the people through joining us on this episode, either over on Apple or Spotify, listen to, they're watching on YouTube, Facebook, maybe the One New Man Network app. Walk them through how to develop the intentionality, the spirit of love, of how to redirect those emotions, especially off reflection, you know, after already seeing what they have done. So like, how can they self course correct here?
Okay, let me give you just a few points. Number one, and I have a download on this they can put in battling in the opposite spirit. So I'm looking at my own notes on this. But number one, when you're going to operate in the opposite spirit, it has to be intentional. Like right now, you need to say, okay, I am going to intentionally adopt this behavior into my life. You have to choose it. It's not going to just happen. It is a choice. It's a practice. You have to train at it, okay? Number two, you have to make a choice that the ultimate takeaway is to take you from faith to trust. Faith is the substance of things hoped for but not seen. You have to get to a place of trust. When you trust in something, you know, I've got water in this coffee mug. It doesn't take faith for me to look in there and say, I wonder if I should drink it. I trust. I got the cup. I put the water in it, and there it is. That's not faith. That's trust. I trust. I see the cup. I see the water. I drink the water. You need to get to a place where the intimacy of love, the Father's love, becomes so apparent in your life that you don't need faith to love God. You trust God because you're overcoming Him by the word of your testimony. Number three, you have to make a choice, and this is a very important choice. In fact, if you're watching right now or if you're just listening in your car, just raise your right hand, and what you need to say is, I am going to obey God's word. There is a place where, yes, you're saved by grace, not by works, but there is a place when you make a decision that you say, I am going to follow and obey God's word. That's what God was telling Joshua. You're going to have to be strong and be of good courage, but you're going to have to follow the instruction. The instruction just isn't going to jump off the book and go into your brain and into your heart or even into your spirit. You're going to have to invest time in the word and let the word transform you. And lastly, you're going to have to adjust your habits and patterns to actually putting God's word first, and walking in forgiveness. One of the negative things about putting God first and actually having this type of battling in the opposite spirit lifestyle, once it starts working for you, many people, including myself, you can almost get oppressed or depressed because you're going to find out how much in your life, how many problems that you actually caused by battling in a bad spirit. By not having self-control and not disciplining yourself, you're going to have to forgive yourself because you're going to realize that a lot of the issues that you have battled for years, a lot of the problems that you've had, you actually caused them. Because as you start to go into maturity and start battling in the opposite spirit in a transformed Christ-like lifestyle, all of a sudden things become easier and you're not having the controversy and the chaos that you had before. You're walking in favor, you're walking in love, you're walking in grace. And one of the downsides of it is you'll enjoy it, but when you look back, you'll have to say, oh my gosh, I wished I would have known this 10 years ago. How much time did I waste? How many relationships did I hurt?
Yeah, so let's take it this direction. I know you mentioned it just a little bit here and there, but let's put it in kind of like bullet points, per se, for people listening. What are the potential downfalls, right, when you are trying to make a self-course correction? We walked through love. We walked through Joshua. I mean, like just a ton in this episode. It's been pretty packed. But let's look at a couple of the ones that you see that are probably most prominent in terms of where people struggle the most, probably early on when they're actually aware, right? Because they're being intentional in their mind to try to catch themselves do this.
I think once people start on a spiritual maturity path, And I'm talking about a real path, like you making a commitment to go to our One New Man app and you take one of the master classes and you actually do it and follow through. I can tell you, if you'll do one of the master classes, it will transform you. Not because it's me or the class, but it's the nature of the content will transform you. So the challenge will be your friends and family work with you at this level spiritually. But once you move to this level, you're going to have to adjust the way you operate in your community, because they're not coming up here. You intentionally invested the time to move up here, and they're going to have difficulty relating to you. So my warning to you is this: be careful what you share while you're transforming. In fact, my advice, don't share anything until you own it and you can, and then you can actually impart it.
Mm, that's pretty good. Yeah. Okay. So let's go ahead and land the plane in this episode, Rabbi. Last thoughts, last piece of encouragement to people right now in this season. Hanukkah is getting pretty close, right? So we're getting towards the end of the year of the Gregorian calendar. 5786, it hasn't been 5786 that long, the fall feast. Obviously, if you're new to the ministry, new to the Hebrew calendar and Jewish roots, we encourage you go back and just search over on our YouTube channel. It's really, really easy to find. And just rewatch the fall feasts, all three of them. But Rabbi, let's land it. What's your parting wisdom for people in this episode?
Well, I believe this episode will be airing right around Thanksgiving. And
yeah,
the power of gratitude. I want to speak to you as a 70-year-old man. The power of gratitude. We're blessed to have a house that has a dining room, and we only use that dining room basically for special events. We have a breakfast room that we eat at most of the time, but if we have a birthday or a holiday, we eat in the dining room. And I can tell you that over the years, and we've had this house for many, many years, there's empty chairs at the table, and it's people who have gone home to be with the Lord that used to sit at this table for Thanksgiving. And I think one of the best ways to battle in the opposite spirit is the spirit of Thanksgiving, which is the spirit of gratitude. Be very thankful for each other. Be very thankful, because you may have them at the table this year, but you may not have them next year. And so make it the best opposite spirit is love them, encourage them, bless them, particularly the older ones. Be as gracious as you can to them, even with all their little quirks as they get older, but show appreciation for each person at the table. And that's probably my best advice for battling in the opposite spirit. Be thankful, have gratitude, and give them the love that God has given you.
Amen and amen, Rabbi. Last thing that we're going to ask from you who are joining us here on this episode, either you're listening or watching, we are 2 weeks away from episode 100 of the Kurt Landry podcast. So my question, my idea for you and my request is throughout the 100 episodes leading up to it, if you've been on this journey with us to growing spiritually closer to the Father, with content every single day, each day, each week, really investing into this podcast, and you've just made it a habit and pattern of your spiritual growth each week. Our request to you is to drop a comment right now if you're watching this live, if you're watching on the replay, or if you're listening to it another time. Let us know what the most impactful episode so far the Kurt Landry podcast has been for you personally. We're going to run a poll, and Rabbi, we're going to come back with that in an episode towards the end of the year. So if you'll do that, drop it in the comments for us. That would be fantastic. And we're just really excited, you know, to reach towards this awesome goal. And so we want to wish you and your family a happy Thanksgiving and super excited to celebrate Hanukkah with you in a couple weeks over at House of David, the One New Man Embassy. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast. We'll see you next week.